But the fastest growing group of Nintendo players are young adults age 18 to 44. 35% of all Nintendo players are age 18 to 44. And that's where we begin our story today.
Welcome to NExpress, the official Nintendo podcast of SoundOnSite.org. With me today are Aaron Santos.
Hello.
Ricky D.
Hello, Nintendo Nation.
And a writer from SoundOnSite.org, Ryan Espinosa.
Hey, how's it going?
All right, Ryan. Every show we like to introduce our guests through asking a series of five questions. Are you up for that?
Sure, I'm up for it.
All right.
All right, I got five good questions this week. Rosalina and or Peach, if you had to go on a date with either, who would you choose?
Definitely Peach. I don't like Rosalina at all. I think she, for one thing, she's too large. Like, she's like three times the size of Mario. And Peach has been my quote-unquote waifu since as long as I can remember.
Send your hate mail to Ryan at... All right, question number two. What is your favorite Nintendo console of all time?
Definitely, I would have to go with GameCube. Not only does it have, without a doubt, the best controller of any Nintendo console, it has the best Mario game, the best Zelda game, Wind Waker, and F-Zero GX. You just can't beat that as a racing game.
Has anyone not said GameCube that we've had on the show yet?
Yeah, actually, GameCube's winning only by one vote, because it's been... This is episode 5, and we've had 2 votes for Super NES. I think GameCube is winning by 1, yeah. I agree, I think GameCube is the best console. I don't think it has the best library of games, but I think the system...
That's true.
I think the system's just mind-blowing.
It had the best third-party support, let's face it.
Yeah.
It had third-party support.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
All right, question number 3. Send your hate mail, by the way, to Tim. No. Question number 3. What is your favorite Nintendo video game of all time?
Oh, geez. Well, since it's on the 64, my favorite game of all time, period, is Banjo-Kazooie. Would you consider that Nintendo?
Yeah, that's fine.
I know they...
Yeah, we'll take it.
Yeah. No, definitely no. Banjo, because
that game was officially exclusively released for a Nintendo console.
Yeah, yeah. I would go further and say it. It's much better than Super Mario 64. Not saying 64 isn't groundbreaking, but Banjo Kazooie did it and did it a lot better.
I would totally agree. We're gonna have to review Mario 64 in the upcoming weeks, because it's come into conversation, I think, 3 weeks in a row now. We were talking about it like 2 weeks ago, where we don't think it stands the test of time. Like, it's a really ugly looking game. Like, I just downloaded it on the Wii U, and it's not like even the original Super Mario game, I think, stands the test of time, because I think because of the 8-bit system, they were restricted as to what they could do. They weren't reaching too far.
And definitely.
Back to questions. What is your drink of choice when playing a video game?
I'm going to go with water. I don't really drink too much soda. I like Dr. Pepper, but I would have to choose water without a doubt.
All right. Now, if you were to turn into a gigantic Donkey Kong character, right? Like a monster Donkey Kong running around New York City, just like stepping on people and cars and automobiles, and you can destroy the head office of Sony and or the head office of Microsoft. And I know their head office isn't in New York City, but whatever.
Right.
Who would you choose? You can only choose one. You have to choose wisely.
Microsoft, no doubt. I have a PS4. I do not have an Xbox One. I kind of hate the Xbox One. But yeah, Microsoft, definitely.
No doubt.
And I'll steal back Banjo-Kazooie for Nintendo, on behalf of Nintendo.
Amen. Totally agree. Yeah, we like our Japanese game developers, right? All right. Yeah.
Well, thanks for answering, Ryan. Those are some good answers. I like those.
You're welcome. You're very welcome.
Well, we have a really good show in store for you guys. We're going to kick it off with Nintendosage. We're going to look at Nintendo's YouTube policy and some of their current situation with technology. Then we're going to head into the main event, where we're going to talk about our E3 predictions, which are bound to be really, really good. And then we are going to end the show with a discussion of Mario Kart 8, specifically its most recent DLC. You guys ready to kick it off?
Yeah.
Definitely.
All right. So Nintendo's been kind of in a state of limbo in terms of its YouTube policy. It's gotten a lot of flack. What we had on YouTube was a lot of Let's Plays where players were playing through Nintendo's properties. Nintendo essentially said that they want some sort of compensation for that. Am I right? So they stopped everyone from making Let's Play videos with their content unless they went through Nintendo to create those videos to promote their products. So a lot of players were really mad because they were basically giving Nintendo free publicity, and Nintendo said that they couldn't do it without Nintendo holding their hands. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the state that we're in right now.
Okay, first of all you had to do was sign up an account over at Nintendo. Yes, they would have to approve your YouTube channel, but I haven't heard anyone complaining about them disapproving anybody's YouTube channel. It was just an extra step they had to do.
Yeah, well, but I think this whole thing sparked with the Angry Joe YouTuber, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
I think it sparked with that one, and I'm using that as a source, but it's like, because from what he's saying, it's because when he started doing Let's Play of Mario Party 10, Nintendo's defense was that wasn't part of the games on the list that they would allow for someone to do like a Let's Play video. Because I believe, I don't know if to mention too, but it's like you could do Let's Play videos, but there's a list of games that are allowed, and Mario Party 10 was not on that list. So
yeah, so essentially they have a list of hundreds and hundreds of titles that you can choose from.
Yeah,
Mario Party 10 was not on that list because A, it's a new game, and B, before they want anyone doing Let's Play videos, they want the game to at least have a little bit of breathing room, let it get released, and then maybe they would add it to this big, gigantic list in the future. This YouTuber was clearly aware of the policy. He clearly was aware of the policy, and he broke the policy and did a Let's Play video of Mario Party 10, knowing full well that Nintendo wouldn't approve it. And then he got really angry because Nintendo asked him to take down the video.
I agree with you. I think Nintendo's, you know, it's their property. They could, I mean, these people, these YouTubers are making, you know, money off their content. I think Nintendo should be allowed to regulate it, you know, as much as they can. I mean, it's not like they're saying like, no, don't use our games at all. I mean, they're giving them opportunities.
Yeah. Look, I think the bottom line is that I don't see people complaining if, say, Warner Brothers tells a YouTuber to take down footage of, say, the new Batman film. No one's going to complain and bitch at some music label because someone's using a specific song and making money out of it, and it's copyright. And just because Sony and Microsoft are okay with it doesn't mean Nintendo has to be okay with it. Nintendo's never ever followed anyone, period. And you got to remember that these people that do work at Nintendo, that do develop and create and produce these games, that is their passion, that is their love, that is their hobby, that is their work, that is their life. And so the argument is, from YouTubers and bloggers, is like, well, we're promoting the Nintendo product, it's a good way to give them free publicity, it's going to increase sales. That's bullshit. It's not going to increase sales. First of all, no one's spending hours and hours doing Let's Play videos for any video game because they want to work for free and give free publicity for whichever company it is, be it Sony, Microsoft, and or Nintendo. They are doing it, let's be honest, because they want to be the next PewDiePie. They want to make $1 million from making these YouTube videos. And honestly, like, if I was the maker of the video game, I wouldn't want a guy like PewDiePie playing my video game on his Let's Play channel, basically just swearing and being like ridiculous and making strange noises while playing the game and trashing the game that I worked 3, 4, 5 years of my life on. The bottom line is these guys are making money off of someone else's product. And so this whole back argument, this whole like rebuttal that, oh, but it's free publicity, that's such bullshit, because you know the thing is, it's not going to increase the sales of Nintendo. Can I just remind everyone that the Wii sold 100 million units, and that was before Let's Play videos were ever a thing. The Nintendo has had a success with their video game consoles since day one with the Nintendo Entertainment System, which sold at least 40 million units. There wasn't even a YouTube channel back then. The YouTube channel is not going to increase sales of the video game. And I work at an elementary school, and I always bring this up because I have, like, just on the elementary side of things, forget the high school, there's 430 kids at my elementary school. Every single one of the gamers at my elementary school watches these YouTube videos. They watch PewDiePie. They watch Markiplier, who I absolutely adore. He's amazing. They watch MatPat, who's incredible. Most of them watch these YouTube videos. You know why? Because they can't afford to buy the game, and or because they're too young to buy the game, and or because they don't have access to playing the game. So they're watching these guys play the game. But that won't change them buying the game, because there's a reason, there's something holding them back from buying the game. So it's not going to increase sales for Nintendo at all. And again, like Aaron said, Nintendo is allowing us to still do Let's Play videos. I just feel like we live in a world where this whole generation is so self-entitled. Like, they think that they should get everything for free, they should get a piece of the pie. It's not your property.
Yeah. And definitely, it's interesting that we have all these warnings about movies being shown publicly and what it's required, and then as soon as Nintendo tries to do that with their game, people are like, wait, what? No, I'm allowed to do this. It's the same exact idea that Nintendo's trying to apply. It's just they're kind of the first ones to really push for it, I guess. So they're getting a lot of the flack.
Exactly. And I don't think they deserve the flack. It's like, if you're angry, what's his name? Angry Joe, who's like, I guess, some kind of angry video game nerd kind of guy. I don't know who this guy is. Maybe he's a really nice guy in real life. I don't know. But he has no right to complain. He knew the policy, and he broke the rules. But the thing is, it's like the people that are complaining are the people who are trying to make money off Let's Play videos. I would guarantee, okay, if YouTube would change their policy and say you would only get money from your video if and only if the viewer watched a whole entire video, okay, guys like PewDiePie would not make more than $1 a year. Because I guarantee you, most people tune into his channel, they watch him for a bit, and they tune out. I don't think anyone actually watches the whole video. You know, a guy like Matt Patrick, that guy is amazing. He puts in 100 hours into his YouTube videos, 100 hours of editing and research, and his videos are mind-blowing. Like, I would love to have that guy on our show. A guy like PewDiePie is making $1 million from acting like, I don't know, making animal noises while playing video games. And you know what? Like, it's fine. Like, if people think he's funny, that's cool. Like, I have no personal vendetta or problem with him. I'm just saying that if Nintendo goes up to him and says, look, we don't want you to use our videos, I get it. And also, the last thing I'm going to say is, especially with someone like PewDiePie and a lot of Let's Play YouTubers, they do happen to swear a lot and use, like, really vulgar language. Mm-hmm. And every single kid in my school, be it if they're in grade 2 or grade 6, 10 years old, 8 years old, they swear so much, and they learn it from watching these YouTube videos. And Nintendo's a very family-friendly company, right? Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't want my 8-year-old son watching PewDiePie play Mario Party 10 and swearing every 2 seconds.
It's kind of one of those things that, as a game maker, you don't know what people are going to bring to the game that's not there. Like, you don't want anyone making Mario creepy and making him see, like, a pedophile or anything like that, which I'm sure is out there. Mm-hmm. You don't want your game to be trashed, even if it's a quality product, just because people have fun trashing things. So it's like, you don't want to be criticized yourself, but you also just don't want these really, really negative associations, whether it be language or a weird amount of sexual, whatever it is. But all of those things are on these YouTube channels.
Yeah. And the thing is, I do think that YouTube Let's Play channels can boost sales and or publicity for some games. Like, you know, Five Nights at Freddy's is a prime example.
Yeah.
But again, like, Five Nights at Freddy's wasn't a very expensive game to purchase. It was also an indie game, and I don't think that the developer had any qualms with anybody doing a YouTube channel with his game. Mind you, PewDiePie trashed the game on his Let's Play video.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. His views on video games are very twisted, and it's hard to take him seriously anyway, so.
Yeah, so I came into this expecting someone to actually disagree with my point of view, but you all seem to be in agreement with me.
Yes.
Yeah,
We're
I'm all for Nintendo right here.
I can understand like the points that you guys are making, but at the same time, like I can't help but feel that in certain situations, it does feel a little critical that they're being this strict about it. I mean, like I know Angry Joe, like the I've seen a couple of his YouTube videos in the past, and he doesn't necessarily like trash video games. I mean, like he was I mean like he like he said in his defense in the video, like he did have high praise for Mario Party 10. And it's surprising because I don't think Mario Party 10 is an amazing game though, but he was kind of pushing that it was a fun game to play with friends and family. So I was a little surprised that Nintendo like picked that and said like, no, you can't do that because
But I think they have to, because you see, the thing is, I get his defense, but you see, if Nintendo lets Angry Joe slide because he gives a positive review of a game that we all agree is not very good, and then Nintendo comes out and says, okay, for example, PewDiePie, your video has to come down of your review of so and so game because it was negative, then it's going to seem like Nintendo is just taking down the videos that are negative, which is not going to go in their favor. The one problem I do have, the one qualm I do have with Nintendo and its YouTube policy is I do not for the life of me understand why they will ask some teenage boy to take down his fan video of Mario or Zelda and what have you. I think that is pushing it. Like, they can at least reach out to the maker of the video and be like, this video is amazing, but you have to go through our policy, so let's help you go through our policy, not just take it down. Because like they're making this like Legend of Zelda live action series, and they have like a website for it. I posted a trailer over at soundinsight.org a while back, but they are part of Nintendo's copyright YouTube, whatever you call it, right? Agreement. So they are allowed to make this live action Zelda game, because when they do complete it and put it on YouTube, it's going to go under like Nintendo's umbrella, like they're going to have their blessing. But I just kind of like feel like Nintendo is sometimes just like a little harsh, because like honestly, if my kid made a fan-made video for The Legend of Zelda and it was mind-blowing, and Nintendo was like, you got to take it down, and he spent like hours or days or weeks making it, I'll be like, that's kind of like harsh.
Couldn't they go and then join the whatever on Nintendo's website and then just repost it?
Yeah, I think they can. I think it's a little different when you actually make, say, a short film and you're using clips and/or music from whatever video game. It gets a little bit more complicated with especially with musical rights, because you're not entirely sure who owns rights to what. Like, for example, Earthbound, which we're going to talk about eventually on the show. One of the big problems with that series is the musical rights. And bringing the other three games that have not yet been released stateside over to North America, I mean, there's all kinds of reasons why it's going to be complicated, but one of the major reasons is because of the musical rights, right? So you never know. It does get complicated and murky.
That's true.
I know that Nintendo has had a history with like just their perception with like these YouTubers and even like the what are the tournament players, how they didn't let Melee be played at Evo for a while, but then they quickly changed their mind because like everyone was getting on them.
All I'm saying is, regarding their policy, like they do have a policy, and they are in a way cooperating with YouTubers, like with YouTubers and Let's Players. Like, they do have this policy, and you just have to kind of register, and they will approve you. So you can't review Mario Party 10, but there's hundreds of other games you can review. If you really, really want to review Mario Party 10, you can write a written review. You can do a podcast and talk about it.
Just not YouTube. All right, so it sounds like we are all pro Nintendo in this argument, but what about you listeners? Feel free to sound off in our comment section. Let us know what you think. We would love to hear back from you, or feel free to shoot us an email. I think that'll just about wrap up the Nintendosage. All right, we're going to take a brief break. We will be right back for the main event.
Welcome to E3, Nintendo fans. And you guys thought we wouldn't have a press conference. Not my problem. We have Nintendo's biggest stars backstage, ready to make some big announcements.
Oh, great! Another Mario game!
Don't love your tone, but actually, no new Mario game today.
What? I'm getting bumped? Bring my cart around. I'm out of here.
Hey, looks like I'm the new face of Nintendo.
Hey, they promised me you wouldn't be here. Come on, Reggie, give us Mother 3.
How about this instead?
Guys, this is the main event. Today we are talking about our E3 predictions. What this is going to look like is we're all going to take a turn, share all of our predictions, and go ahead and start a discussion based around what we expect to see. What it will not be is what we already know is going to be there. So for some of these games that we already know a lot about, or that obviously are going to be there, you probably won't hear as much about.
Yeah, well, first of all, I think we should consider, do you think that they're going to do a direct? Because I predict they're going to go back to the conference style. I think I read an article saying that they rented out a place in the convention center. Did you guys hear about that?
No, but it's funny because when I sent Tim, I think actually you were CC'd an email, when I sent out my list of my 20,000 predictions, one of the predictions was that Nintendo would take the stage once again this year, and they would sort of abandon their digital presentation. But the reason why I think they might do this and or might make it a mix is because if they start talking about their partnership with so-and-so company, for example, DNA, they might need to bring these people on stage to talk about their plans, as opposed to it just being like an in-house Nintendo kind of party where they make like these amazing animated videos with, you know, a bunch of, I don't know, Super Smash Brothers fight sequences like they did last year. So that could be a reason. It's also interesting that Square Enix has booked the exact same time slot as Nintendo.
Really?
Yep. Which one are you going to watch? Square Enix or Nintendo?
If they don't release Kingdom Hearts 3 this year, I give up.
See, that's the thing. Is everyone's waiting for Kingdom Hearts 3, so that's why a lot of people are really pumped for their press conference. But why do you think they're going to take the stage once again?
Well, other than just it's just the rumor that I read on an article somewhere. I think it's a good idea because – like last year it was just so weird, like the Nintendo Directs just feel so sterile and just so like that's exactly how they wanted. There's no like authenticity. Like imagine last year if they had shown, if they had revealed Pac-Man on stage, like the reaction, like how awesome that would have been.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the advantage of being on stage, is having that reaction from the crowd. You know, you get to see people blow up and
The excitement and the presence of it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's going to be a mix. I think they're going to have some sort of digital presentation during the E3 event, which is 3 days long. I think they're going to take the stage. And of course, they also have their Treehouse YouTube live videos, right? I think it's going to be a mix of everything.
Yeah, the Treehouse is just a great idea. I love it.
All right. So next.
I'm gonna put out my prediction. I am predicting that another Metroid game is going to come out in E3, because the rumor mill is spinning. There's been a couple of threads and little pieces on the internet One of them sparking from the fact that Retro Studio is rebuilding their site, and people are jumping to conclusion, thinking that maybe they're preparing for the next game in their list, and people have been pointing at a new Metroid game. So
do you think it's more likely to be another Metroid Prime-esque game, or do you think since they also have a really good handle of 2D platformers, they're going to go in that direction?
Well, a lot of the 2D platformer talk came up in a couple of discussions. A lot of people are thinking that they're going to go with a 2.5D sort of like platformer for like the 3DS. In my honest opinion, I'm really hoping for like a Wii U Prime-esque title.
Okay, so is this what you're predicting or what you wish for?
Well, I'm wishing for Prime on Wii U. Okay. You know what? I'm going to predict Prime on Wii U.
All right, so Aaron, you're starting big. I was going to start with my small prediction.
No, you're going big right away. Go big or go home.
Go big or go home. You know what? I'm going to agree with you, but I'm going to add to it. Okay, so Donkey Kong Country, Tropical Freeze, out of the way. Game is released. Everyone loves it to some degree. Okay, fine. So you got Retro Studios. They are clearly working on something. You know how we know? Because according to them, they're not working on anything. Retro Studios is working on something, okay? So there were rumors, I think it was last year, that they were working on a Diddy Kong Racing 2 along with Monster Games. So it's supposed to be Monster Games and Retro Studios are working on a Diddy Kong Racing game. And I never believed it. And they were like, oh yeah, they're going to show footage come E3, and it never happened. And the reason why I didn't believe it is because, like, why the hell would they make a second racing game? That's like if Marvel released Avengers and Ant-Man on the exact same day. Like, everyone's going to go out and buy Mario Kart 8, just like everyone's going to watch the Avengers over Ant-Man, right? But the thing is, recently there's been rumors that they are working on a game with the new engine specifically for the Wii U. It was based on some sort of tweets that were released and later deleted, and because the tweets were deleted, it leads a lot of people to believe that this is most likely true, right? So the thing is I think you're right, Aaron. I think we are going to get a Metroid game for the Wii U, but I also think we're going to get a Metroid game for the 3DS. I think they're going to release two Metroid games. And I think for the Wii U, it's going to be a return to the 2D platforming roots of like the old, you know, Metroid, Super Metroid, et cetera, et cetera. But I think for the new 3DS, it's going to be a game that takes full advantage of both screens as well as the C-Stick. So I think we're going to get two Metroid game announcements. I think we're going to see it at the end of the show. It's going to be, oh, by the way, here's one last thing to send you off. And I don't think it's going to get released till like 2016, and it might just get delayed.
Chances are it'll get delayed. But
yeah, I mean, that's definitely interesting. But although I do wish they were making a Diddy Kong Racing 2, that game was great. I'll say better than Mario Kart 64.
Well, Monster Games can be working on Diddy Kong Racing without Retro, and Retro could be working on Metroid instead. I guess the question is, look, we know a Metroid game is eventually coming. The question is, what kind of Metroid game? Because Metroid Utter M failed to reach the critical commercial success of the Prime Trilogy, so for me, it doesn't make sense to go back to that formula.
The first-person shooter formula, or you mean like... 2D.
Well, just to go back to anything that has to do with Metroid Utter M, like story-wise, it bombed. No one.
Well, there's also like rumors too. People think it's going to be a reboot in the series. So, but again, these are all speculation. These are all predictions. So,
all right. So you think Metroid game for Wii U? I up the stakes. I say one for the 3DS and Wii U. Does anyone object?
Yeah, so I want to believe that, yes, maybe they're going to do a Wii U and a 3DS title, but for some reason, part of me cannot believe that they're going to do both systems. It's going to be either or for me.
Yeah, simultaneously released is kind of hard to believe. Yeah. Like, we never get that with Mario. I think one, or maybe both, but definitely not at the same time.
Maybe. I mean, you never know. But the 3DS is the moneymaker, and the Wii U needs to sell more consoles.
So it makes more sense to have Metroid come out on the Wii U. I mean, don't you think?
Well,
If you want to sell more of it.
I think it makes more sense to release two Metroid games. Release one on the 3DS that you know is going to sell because they sold 52 million units of the portable system. Mm-hmm. Release one on the Wii U to help get people to buy the console. The new Legend of Zelda game will not make an appearance at E3. So E3 is supposed to focus on getting people to buy the actual console. Mm-hmm. So they need something big.
I predict that it's going to stick to only on the Wii U. That I will place a bet on it. Only on the Wii U.
All right. So and, that's your prediction.
Yeah. And Rick predicts that's going to be on both. So we'll just see.
Or they could sell Wii U's by releasing Earthbound. What?
No, you don't dare. You don't dare.
That is one of my predictions and has been for some time.
Okay. Go.
Do you want me to save it for you? I've got others.
No. You've already gone big. Go big. You know what, Tim? It don't matter if you called it first in the podcast because I published my article an hour ago on the website. Booyaka!
Oh! Well, I'm glad we're of the same opinion. But honestly, Earthbound has been dormant for way too long, and their characters keep showing up. They keep releasing it on different consoles. It's been given away on Club Nintendo. It's honestly time that we see this series come back to life. And I think that we use the perfect time. I think they could utilize the gamepad really easily. I think it'd be great to see all the characters in HD looking their best like they do in the Smash Bros. Games. I would love to see an evolved battling system where you're not only seeing this enemy sprite like you do in Earthbound, but seeing more of the action and some of the fray.
Yeah.
And I think that Earthbound with its play style, with its sense of adventure, with its soundtrack, with its really long and really fun story, I think it could just really reach this big niche section of gamers, the JRPG fans and those that are just kind of into something silly and fun, and send it home. Mm-hmm. And I think that, like, you know, it could be a total home run.
Nice pun.
See the pun? Yep.
Oh, yeah. So, you think they're going to make a new game?
Yeah, I think it should come, like the series, I think it could come back. It might be an HD remake of the original since we never got that in the States.
Okay.
Or it might just be something entirely new but very similar. I think it's going to be HD on the Wii U and it's going to be awesome.
I don't see them making a new Earthbound game. I'm hoping they're actually finally going to release one of the three Earthbound games that were never released outside of Japan, be it Mother 3 or 1 or 2, what have you. But the problem is that here's the thing. Okay, hear me out. This is why I think it's possible. Okay, first of all, they did, out of the blue, without even notifying anyone, release Earthbound on the Wii U Virtual Console, which was amazing, right? That game was on the top 10 sales chart for God knows how long, like forever. I think it's still on the top 10 selling games. Okay, it's right up there with Mario Kart and Super Smash and you name it. Secondly, Nintendo Direct recently confirmed that Game Boy Advance games would be on the Wii U Virtual Console and Mother 3 was on the Game Boy Advance, right?
Yeah.
Plus, the last Nintendo Direct, they made this big deal of including Lucas has an additional character for Super Smash. But the thing about Nintendo is, like, Nintendo is so unpredictable that usually what it seems like it's going to be never is, you know? So despite the fact that we have Lucas being released on Super Smash, despite the fact that they released Earthbound on the Wii U console, and so on and so forth, despite the fact that they now have Game Boy Advance games on the Wii U Virtual Console, I just kind of feel like there's too much of a trail of breadcrumbs. I just don't know if it's actually going to happen, but it is my wild card. It's my wild prediction. It's kind of like my wish, but I don't see them making a new game. That'll be crazy.
It's not honestly that likely, but I think it would really, really tickle a lot of people's fancy, and I think that they could do a simultaneous release of some of these old games. Now that a lot of us have gotten a taste for Earthbound, it's been doing so well here.
Mm-hmm.
I think that now's the perfect time to be like, oh yeah, play the new game and play the old games leading up to it that we're going to console while you're waiting for this beautiful HD game to come out.
I mean, maybe, but there is a bunch of hurdles when it comes to localizing these games stateside. I mean, even in Earthbound, there was like a bunch of problems with that game at the beginning, because especially with Mother 3, like there's animal cruelty, there's physical violence, there's repeated drug and alcohol references, there's potential copyright issues with certain music. So they can make a new game and start fresh and, you know, eliminate all of these problems moving forward with a new game and using these characters. That is a possibility. But to me, that's like a dream. And I think it's a dream that's never going to come true. So if it does come true, I'll give props to you. My prediction, my wild card, is that they are just finally going to re-release these games.
Yeah.
Like maybe a whole package deal for all we know.
If you haven't played Earthbound, go play it. We're going to talk about it later in the episode. So stay tuned for that eventually. Yeah. Ryan, why don't we go back to you?
I think Nintendo's going to go all out with DLC. They're totally not done with Smash Brothers. With all that, you guys heard about all the Ryu and the Roy rumors that there's in their files are in the patches. They're going to definitely announce something with that. And I don't think they're done with Mario Kart 8 DLC. I think we're going to get something else. Yeah, I think we're going to get a lot more levels. They've been focusing on characters. Definitely going to announce the Miiverse level that's been hinting at for like the past year. Definitely, if the Ryu rumors are true, I think E3 would be the proper time to reveal that.
I doubt that a lot of the old characters would come back. But if they could get the rights back to Snake, I would love them forever.
That would be great. And it would actually give Kojima, you know, a little leeway since the whole Konami fiasco.
Yeah.
I don't see any more DLC for Mario Kart 8. Like, I think that's it. We got our tracks. We're going to talk about this later on. I think it's over. No more DLC. I think they got to move on.
Well,
in terms of Smash characters, I mean, we do know they're releasing 5 more characters, but I don't think we're going to get any more than 5.
Mm-hmm.
But we might get some announcements of who we're going to see.
Well, here's the thing. So if they were to announce who the 5 characters are come E3, that doesn't really make sense because the actual online poll, the voting system, goes until the fall.
Oh, yeah. But we're only voting on one character, aren't we? I thought it was just we get to choose one character, they're going to choose the rest.
Basically, we have the possibility of 4 characters getting announced come E3.
As far as I understand it, yes.
Okay.
I believe so.
All right.
All right, Aaron, more predictions from you?
I predict that they're gonna shed some light on the Nintendo NX, or whatever NX means, because this is something that they've mentioned in the past, and I think more clarification is gonna happen in E3.
Even though they said they weren't gonna talk about it when they first announced it?
Well, I mean, unless you're predicting that they are lying, because they said they will not talk about the next console and they will not talk about the new Legend of Zelda game.
Even if they said that they're not going to talk about E3, I mean, it's there's got to be some kind of some kind of hint of what NX is in E3. I mean,
No way.
You don't think?
No. 100%. I will bet my Wii U on it. Okay. There's no way they can talk about the next console at E3 and then hope people go out and buy the Wii U.
Mm. Well, no.
That's my fear too.
Yeah. I think they're gonna focus on the Wii U, and it'd be too risky to start talking about the NX.
Yeah.
All right. I went all out on Earthbound, so I'm gonna take it down a notch. Just do something really obvious with Pokemon Z. I think it's about time that we hear about the next Pokemon game. I'd expect it to come out in the fall or winter. I don't think that'd be too surprising. They release Pokemon games pretty rapidly, and yet we haven't heard anything about the sequel to X and Y, which was a great game. Totally worth playing if you haven't. So I would expect and hope to see something about Pokemon Z.
All right, I actually, because you technically skipped my turn, I'm going to go with 2 predictions, but I'm not going to go with my big, big ones. But mind you, you've already stolen two of them, guys. Hating you right now. Very quickly, I think clearly Wii U has been a huge disappointment for Nintendo in terms of sales, right? So if you compare it to the Wii sold 40 million units in the first 2 years. The Wii U has so far only sold 10 million units in the first 2 years. Okay, big, huge difference. Now, Nintendo takes pride in their systems. They love the Wii U. I personally think it's one of the best consoles, if not the best console they've ever released to some extent, in some ways. Mm-hmm. They want people to buy more Wii Us, clearly, especially if they're going to release all of these incredible games moving forward. So I think the best thing they can do for the Wii U is to release a new model and a new bundle. I think that because it's the 30-year anniversary of the Super Mario series, they are going to release a Super Mario 30-year anniversary bundle, which will include Mario Maker and one more Mario game. I don't know if it would be Mario Kart and or Super Mario World 3D. I have no idea, but there's going to be two games in one. There's going to be a new console, maybe in a new color. Maybe it's going to have some kind of Super Mario theme, you know, attached to it. Maybe it's going to have, like, the colors of Mario. I don't know, but something that looks different. And I think it's going to have more than 32 gigabytes.
Yeah, I think that's a good prediction right there. I wouldn't be surprised if it was, like, double the size that we've seen, maybe, like, 64 or even 500? Getting up there. I don't think it'll hit 500. I don't think they're quite there yet. I would anticipate it being Mario Red.
Yeah, like the colors of the original NES or Super NES.
Yeah, I mean, it's been out for 2 years. It's about time that we see some sort of new version. Most consoles do that. I think that they could really rock it. And if they put a lot of Mario games on there, download it already, I think it'd be a really hot seller.
Yeah, I think so too. Especially if they are releasing, hopefully, a lot of amazing games closer to the end of the year, like, for example, Star Fox and so on and so forth. If they do have this Mario bundle with Mario Maker and an additional Mario game, and it's a 30-year anniversary, and they market the shit out of it, the people who don't have the Wii U will all of a sudden know what the Wii U is, because a lot of people are still confused. Like, trust me, I have a lot of parents that I talk to on a daily basis, and they still think the Wii and the Wii U are the exact same machine. Okay? Nintendo needs to educate America. Specifically, parents. So my second quick prediction, going back to Mario's 30-year anniversary, is we know we are getting a Mario game for the Wii U, and that is Mario Maker, but we don't have a Mario game yet scheduled for release for the 3DS. Now, it's a 30-year anniversary for Super Mario. The 3DS is technically their moneymaker because they've sold more 3DS units than Wii U consoles. So I think it's about due time they release a new Mario game for the 3DS. And so I was thinking about it, and I don't think they're going to release a sequel to Super Mario 3D Land, which I think is still one of the best, if not the best, game released for the console, the portable system. I think what they're going to do is they're going to release Super Mario 3D World for the 3DS. Now, is it going to be the same game, just with a little bit of, like, patches and fixes here and there to make it playable on a portable system? I don't think so. I think it's going to be very similar, but I think the 3DS needs a Mario game, because Super Mario 3D Land was released, like, 4 years ago. That's a long time.
When was New Super Mario Bros. 2 released on the 3DS?
Not too far long after, but still, I mean, that's not like a new Mario game, you know? That's the same kind of same old.
Yeah, very traditional Mario game. That's what I'd expect if they were going to release another one on the 3DS, though, is New Super Mario Bros. 3 or something like that.
I can't imagine it being a lot of work for them to take Super Mario 3D World and porting it to the portable system. There is the question of, can you play four players, which seems a little complicated, but I'm sure they can eliminate the four-player mode and or take away a few levels or change a few levels and or just make a new game. I don't know.
Yeah, the experience will still be there on a 3DS. They did a pretty good job with the Xenoblade.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's a massive game. All right. Do you have any more predictions for us?
Okay, so while we're still in the Mario conversation, although I do want to see Mario Galaxy 3, or any sort of Mario Galaxy form, I personally I believe that it would be too grand of a project, considering that Mario Maker is coming out. So I want to throw out a prediction and I want to say that I'd like to see a Mario in a sports game, you know, Mario Tennis, Mario Golf. I think it'd be great. I absolutely love Mario Tennis. I mean, it's embarrassing for me to say, but I did enjoy Mario Tennis.
Do you want a returning sport, golf, tennis, what have you, or do you want to see him in an all new
specifically
sport?
Specifically, I want to see Mario Tennis. I absolutely love Mario Tennis.
Why does it have to be Mario Tennis? Why can't it be like Kirby Tennis?
Because there aren't enough Kirby characters.
Okay, well, you know what, Aaron? The thing is, that kind of ties into one of my predictions, so I'm going to cut in once again. So Next Level Games, who, of course, have made a reputation and a name for themselves in the past, like, 10 years for making games for Nintendo, such as Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon, and they made the Punch-Out game for the Wii, right? Rumor has it that Next Level Games are currently working on an unannounced Wii U game, which makes sense, because they made games for Nintendo in the past. The thing is, a lot of people think it's going to be a sequel to Luigi's Mansion, like a new Luigi's Mansion. Some people think it's going to be a new Punch-Out game. I think it's going to be a new Mario sports game, like you. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's something like Mario Strikers. Maybe a Mario soccer game. And picture it, guys. So you get a new Mario sports game, and you take your amiibos, and if you have the Samus amiibo, then you can add Samus to your team roster. If you have Little Mac, or the Villager, or Marth, then you can add them to your roster. So it could be like a soccer game, it could be like a mix, maybe it's tennis, soccer, and golf all in one. Yeah, dude, I think that if Next Level Games is making something for Nintendo, I don't think it's going to be a new Luigi's Mansion. I do not think it's going to be a Punch-Out. I'll explain why I don't think it's going to be a Punch-Out later on. I think it's going to be a sports game.
Yeah, I think the Wii U is kind of due for a sports game.
Mm-hmm. And Strikers is such an underrated Mario sports game. I wish they made more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah, it's one of the best games on the Wii.
Personally, I would rather have a Luigi's Mansion game, but maybe that's just me. This game's just so fun.
Yeah, no, I mean, but this is predictions, right?
Yeah, so go wild, have fun, make some predictions. Mm. Yeah, I think it's my turn. You all were predicting sports. I actually was predicting Paper Mario to return to the Wii U in a new title, because that seems a little less ambitious than, say, a Galaxy game. But still a really fun form to see Mario take again. If they wanted a lot of variability, they could even make it Super Paper Luigi or something, although it is the Super Mario Bros. Anniversary and it's not the year of Luigi anymore. I think that'd be really fun to see something like that on the Wii U, another bigger title, and maybe a return to more of the RPG roots, tie it in to Super Mario RPG, make it something a little bit more like that rather than what we got with the stickers game on the 3DS. And I think that'd be a lot of fun and not too ambitious of a project. Maybe I'm wrong.
Out of all of our predictions so far today, I think it's the most likely to happen, can happen. Mm-hmm. It's possible.
Yeah.
Very, very, very possible. Yeah.
All right, Rick.
All right, so this is one of my three big ones. You've already stolen my Metroid prediction to some degree, Aaron, and Tim, you've stolen my Earthbound prediction to some degree.
That's what happens when you have too big of a list. Obviously, we're gonna clash.
But it's still different. It's still like, I had a different prediction for Metroid, and you know, I had somewhat of a different prediction for Earthbound. I think Miyamoto is going to take the stage for the very last time. So you know, he's made very clear that he's now 61, 62 years old. He needs to retire soon. He's been prepping Nintendo and all the young folk who work under his wing for quite some time now to prepare the company for when he no longer works for Nintendo. He has revealed multiple projects last year at E3 2014, including, of course, Star Fox, which is going to be, I think, the opener for their conference this year. He also revealed Project Giant Robot and Project Guard, which is basically a new franchise, a new IP for Nintendo. It's going to be huge, huge, okay? And I think it's going to be the last time he takes the spotlight at E3. And I think a good chunk of their presentation, be it digital and or on stage and or both, is going to be focused on his three games.
If he announces he's leaving, I just might cry.
It'd create a lot of love, I bet.
Well,
no one could trash Nintendo. It'd be too emotional.
And I think that's why they're going to go on the stage. Like, I think going right back to our first prediction when Ryan said they're going to go back on the stage, I think they might still have a digital presentation, but I think they're going to be on that stage because, you know, Project Guard and Project Robot are just, like, huge. And the fact that he's focusing so much attention on Star Fox to the point where they've actually sidelined The Legend of Zelda for, you know, they have supposedly their reasons. But I think it has to do with the fact that they just want to put him in the spotlight. I think he's more important than showcasing Zelda for them this year. And I think that's the real reason why Zelda's not in the spotlight this year. I think they're doing it for him.
That'd be cool. Why don't we go ahead and transition a little bit? One more final round, and I want you guys to be as ridiculous as possible. It can be as unlikely as possible. The sky is the limit.
So I guess
if Nintendo could announce anything and you would pray for it on a daily basis that it would become true, what would you want to see at E3 this year?
I would say, being such a Banjo-Kazooie fanboy, they get Chris Seaver, the dude behind Conker, and the whole team that's doing Project Ukulele, and say, hey, this is going to be, this pro Project Ukulele, the successor to Banjo-Kazooie, is going to be a Wii U exclusive. And that would be my astronomical prediction.
That'd be cool. All right, Aaron.
Astronomical prediction. You know, I'm gonna say Kojima comes on stage and announces Metal Gear Solid 5 for the Wii U.
That'd be cool. That'd be a good move. Replaces a certain someone who's gonna retire.
Yeah.
As we predict. Just kidding. All right. I'm going to go ahead and fulfill my long-desired wish of publicly declaring that there needs to be more Pokemon Snap, and I want either an HD remake of Pokemon Snap or a sequel on the Wii U or 3DS.
I would like to see I'd like to see it in the virtual store. Yeah, it'd be cool. I don't know about
another. No, I don't want just virtual store. I want something like beautiful, redone, maybe in 3D on the 3DS, or HD. I want it to get the works. Make it new.
They definitely have the gyroscope to do so. That would be interesting.
Yeah, exactly. For both consoles. So, yeah. All right, Ricky?
Oh my god, I have so much to say. I could make some kind of crazy, it'll never happen, wild like prediction or wish, like Xbox and Nintendo team up and the NX is really Nintendo Xbox.
And they form into a giant robot that you can fight inside of.
I'll try to get through my list really quick. Okay, we do know that they are going to be releasing their first few games for mobile devices before the end of the year. I think they said as early as the fall. So clearly they have to put in some kind of focus on their new partnership with DNA. I don't think they're going to spend a lot of time talking or spotlighting these games, but I think they will announce their first three games. Maybe we'll see a little bit of footage, maybe a trailer. And I don't think we're going to get like an Endless Runner. I don't think we're going to get something like Super Kitty, like some kind of scrolling platform game. I think what we're going to get is we're going to get a mobile version of Punch-Out, WarioWare, and Mario Kart. I've been looking at all the games available to download on my Android phone, and I downloaded a bunch of games, including some punching games and some racing games, and they can totally make a Punch-Out game and a Mario Kart game easily. There's some amazing games available for mobile devices. It's incredible. I can't believe how good they are. Like, even the Final Fantasy games are available now. I think those are going to be the three games they start with. They need some kind of Mario title in there. But that's why I don't think we're going to get like a... I think we need to see some kind of Punch-Out game come out sooner or later, but I think it's going to be on a mobile device. In terms of Amiibo, look, you know, Amiibos are making a shitload of money for them. If you look at Skylanders and Disney Infinity, like those things are making like over 2 billion in worldwide sales every single year. So I think there's no reason for Nintendo to stop production on more Amiibos. I think we're going to get the announcement of the final wave for Super Smash. So they're all going to come out by the end of the year. And I think they're going to re-release certain characters, not all characters, but characters like Captain Falcon, Ike, Marth, characters that are actually of use to some of the games they're releasing in the future and or that they have released, like Codename Steam, for example, or Star Fox. Like, I think they're going to stock up on these characters once again. So Amiibo, definitely you're going to see more Amiibos. I think we're going to see GameCube Virtual Console support because it's the only system I think missing in action when it comes to the virtual store, right? Like, yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. yeah. So because it's missing in action, mm-hmm. and also because they just recently re-released the adapter for the GameCube controllers, I mean, if you're going to release the adapter once again, there's got to be more use for it than Super Smash.
Yeah.
So I think that's a possibility. Finally, Super NES Remix. The NES Remix, I think, was more than just a trip down memory lane. I think it was a huge hit for Nintendo. A lot of people really liked it. They've already released a sequel, but I think they've sort of exhausted the NES library. And so I think they're actually going to release Super NES Remix by Christmas time. And the last thing I'm going to mention, which I'm surprised, Tim, you haven't mentioned it, Pokken Tournament, the Pokemon fighting game.
It's on my list. It's written here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is basically an arcade game. It's the publisher, Bandai Namco, released it. They showed footage of it, I think, even last year's E3, right? Yep. So these are the same guys that did the Tekken games, and the game looks amazing. It looks fantastic. And I do understand that it's an arcade game,
mm-hmm.
but given the fact that it's a Pokemon game, you know, given Pokemon's success for Nintendo, given the fact that Nintendo and Bandai Namco have such a good working relationship, they're one of the few third-party publishers who haven't left Nintendo and haven't abandoned the Wii U. I think that since day one, they've always wanted to put this thing on the Wii U. I don't think we're going to get it anytime soon, but I think there's a possibility that we can get an announcement and or some kind of like footage or something that it is going to come to the Wii U maybe in 2016. And I think it's going to be huge. And I think it's going to use the Amiibo cards, those trading cards. Because they've been talking about releasing these trading cards, right? And I think if they do release Amiibo in the form of trading cards, it's going to be specifically for Pokemon. Because there's 740 characters in the Pokemon universe. There's no way they can make 740 figures. So it's all about Amiibo, Pokemon, and yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of time for when Pokken Tournament makes its way to consoles. I think that was always their goal, and that's kind of what they do with the Tekken series anyway, so...
Yeah, and I think the thing is that the Japan Expo Arcade Game Showcase is in late January, early February, so I think they're going to really save the big announcements for that event, but I think there's still a possibility they might hint out a few things at E3.
Yeah. All right, so that was the main event. I had a lot of fun discussing that stuff with you guys. We're going to take a brief break, and we will be right back for our post-game content. Welcome back to N-Express. With me are still Aaron, Ryan, and Ricky. For our post-game content today, we're going to talk about the new Mario Kart 8 DLC and Mario Kart 8 in general. In case you guys don't know, Mario Kart 8 just came out with its second set of DLC a little earlier in the month, which was actually earlier than they anticipated releasing it. And with it came three new characters, the Animal Crossing Villager, Isabelle from the most recent Animal Crossing game, and Dry Bowser, along with a total of 8 new courses, as well as some cart, a lot of content. Some of it from old games. I think it's about half and half for old courses and 4 new courses. At the same time, they also released a big update to the game, which introduced some more amiibo functionality, giving you more costumes for your Mii character, as well as a new speed, 200cc, which is the first for the series. So why don't we go ahead and open it up? Ryan, what did you think about the game?
It is now super fast. Like, I consider myself a competent Mario Kart player, but first playing this, like, I was falling off the courses, running into walls. You have to use your brake so much. It's so vital. But, like, after a couple hours playing it, it kind of ruined me on it because I cannot go back to 150 now. I need that speed.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot faster. There are some comparison videos that are definitely worth checking out online. It's really funny, the difference. Have you gotten a chance to play it, Aaron?
Here's my thing. I do want to play the 200cc, but I remembered upon first update, I did not get the 200cc, and I found out why. It's because you have to get gold in all 150cc Grand Prix races, and which is something that I don't have, so I haven't had a chance to play the 200cc, but I have played the new tracks, though, so.
Okay.
How do you like Big Blue? Big Blue is just...
No, it's a really, really cool track. I love the track design. That was actually one of my favorite tracks in the new DLC. That and Neo Bowser.
Yeah.
That was another
really good one. Which it looks so perfect on the Wii U with the HD graphics. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it does. Like, some of these track designs were just absolutely breathtaking. Baby Park, I wasn't too crazy about it. I don't know what you guys think about it. Because you just go in circles.
In circles, yeah, 7 times. That's it.
I mean,
it's pretty fun, though, because it's so chaotic and barbaric, and everyone's hitting everyone with everything at all times, so it's kind of fun to play that way.
Yeah.
Going back to Big Blue, though, I love how fast-paced that map is because of all the water and all the ramps. It honestly keeps you going faster than almost any other level.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's a mess, especially on 200cc. It's impossible, and it's so fun. I loved it.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
You could definitely tell that Big Blue was made specifically with 200cc in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. There were a couple of other really fun new maps. There was the new Animal Crossing map, which actually has 4 different seasons that you can see whenever you play it.
Mm-hmm.
It'll cycle through those each time you play, which had a lot of love and care in it. The money instead of coins is the bells from the Animal Crossing title. There are like boxes hanging from balloons, snowmen, fruit that give you boosts. It's all sorts of fun.
The apples that give you boosts are such a nice welcome to the game. The Animal Crossing level is my favorite. And Aaron, I had the same problem as you. We were talking about it, I think it was Sunday night, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, how come I don't have the 200cc? And I realized that I was missing gold on one of the circuits. So I finished it, got the 200cc. The baby cart track is ridiculous. you can circle the track in like 7 or 9 seconds, especially if you get Bullet Bill. Mm-hmm. If you get Bullet Bill, it's over before you can blink.
Yeah,
pretty amazing.
I just really love all the attention and care that went into the game. One of the new levels, the Super Bell Subway, I noticed that it actually has 2 exit signs, like on the freeway.
Mm-hmm.
That are actually different levels from the game, which I thought was just really a fun way to reference itself, making it feel like this joint world And it's just such a small little detail that makes such a difference.
I think Nintendo's basically mastered the Mario Kart formula. Like, do you think it gets any better? I mean, maybe they can make a Mario Kart 9 with additional tracks, new tracks, maybe new characters, but does it get better?
I don't know if it'll ever get smoother or more fun. I think we'll just see different. I think we might see more characters, more tracks. Mm-hmm. I think there will be better online functionality in the future, even though it's fun to play online now. I don't know if I'd say it'll get better than this, just more advanced.
Yeah, and I think that's why the 200cc was the best thing they could do with this franchise, because despite the fact that it has better graphics and it's one of the most beautiful games Nintendo's ever released, not a lot has changed, even if you go back to the original Super Mario Kart on Super NES.
Mm-hmm. So, it's still the same. Yeah, it's the same series, which is great. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think maybe the only thing they could do is, like, I mean, they're testing it out right now, just add more Nintendo characters, make it not so Mario-centric, add Captain Falcon, stuff like that. I really don't know, like, what else they could do with gameplay. I mean, it's just so great.
Yeah, I think continued DLC, people love old levels. I think they could also do a sort of a return to some of the older battle modes, because this game doesn't feature the same battling system that we saw in the N64 or the GameCube game. Mm-hmm, but each game sort of has its own mechanic that you can play around with. So I think whatever Nintendo is doing at the time, the Mario Kart game will really marry that idea and apply it. The tablet works perfectly with Mario Kart 8, and I almost use that more than the TV when I'm playing. So.
Oh, really? You mean you actually look at the gamepad?
Yeah, sometimes I don't even turn on my TV when I play Mario Kart. I just sit on my couch with the gamepad.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I always look at my TV, but I do use the gamepad when it comes to racing.
Yeah, it's really helpful to look at the map to know where everyone is, especially at the higher difficulties, how close that computer is to you. Man, yeah.
I think my only complaint about Mario Kart 8 is it has 30 characters, but of the 30 characters, a lot of them are basically like a different version of like so-and-so, like, you know, Gold Mario or Silver Mario, have you. And then there's all these characters that I just don't care about. Shy Guy is awesome, but I don't, there's a lot of these characters I'm like, why are they in the game? I'm never going to use them. But they can always make a new Mario game and experiment in weird ways like they did with Mario Kart Double Dash, like with the co-op focus mode.
Well, that's the to me, that's the only thing they could do now is just change some gameplay mechanics. I mean, the formula itself is perfect. I mean, why alter that?
And I think this game also added a whole bunch of new items, which were really creative for the series. It added the boomerang. Yeah. It added the little boom box thing that blocks blue shells. It's a lot of really good additions like that that we just hadn't even really thought about before that really allow players to approach the game differently and better. You know, now if I'm in first place, I just hold on to that box. So anyone that tries to blue shell me, I'm just like, nope, not happening.
Yeah, but you know, Mario Kart 64 has an advantage because in that game, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's a 64 version, you can hold on to more than one item, so you never are really ever sure what item your opponent's going to use on you.
I don't remember that in the 64 one. I know in Double Dash, the GameCube one, because you had two characters, they could each hold an item.
Or maybe it was Double Dash, yeah. Maybe.
So you could hold on to, like, I know my favorite pairing was Paratroopa and King Boo, and I would always use Paratroopa first, wait until I got his triple red shells, then switch to King Boo, and just be throwing everything, and then whenever I needed those red shells, they were sitting in back.
My favorite item is the Piranha Plant. The thing about the Super Horn is I know it's a defense, especially against the blue shell, but it's useless to me. I've never actually used a Super Horn in any kind of effective way.
Yeah, there's never been a moment where I was like, oh, I... You know, this horn is going to come in handy. There's never been that moment, you know?
As soon as I get the horn, I just use it right away so I can get the next item.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
I hold on to it.
No, because, like, for me, it's like I'd rather use it and then have something else, like, you know, if I'm behind, hopefully, like, a Bullet Bill, yes. But...
Are you guys riding in first the entire race, though? Like...
No, not if I'm playing at 150.
Yeah, no.
If I'm playing at 200, I'm all the way at the end. I'm like in last place.
Okay. So I guess I'm usually, I don't want to sound arrogant, but I'm usually sitting in first, so I need whatever I can to defend myself.
Mm-hmm. You mean like even at 200?
200 is a lot more difficult. I can kind of hold my own, but 150, I'm always still sitting at first. I'm that guy that's three-starring every single tournament, though, so...
See, now you're just tooting your horn.
I'm just being honest with you. That's what I do. No, I love what this has given us a chance to do. My wife actually complains all the time that I'm no fun to play with because I always win, and then she gets mad if I let her win.
Mm-hmm.
But when we're playing 200cc, we're playing by our own rules. We made up this game where you play at 200cc, you pick the heaviest characters, which are all the fastest characters, and you build the fastest vehicle you possibly can, and then just go. Mm-hmm. And it's complete madness, and she can actually crush me at that because she bothers to slow down and I don't. So,
let me ask you a question. What's your favorite track?
Oh, of the whole game? That's a tough one.
Oh, for me, it's easy.
Really? I feel... Oh, man.
Mount Wario. Mount Wario.
That's one of my new favorites. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of variability into how that race can go. As challenging as it is, I do really like the new Rainbow Road because it's so cutthroat.
I hate all forms of Rainbow Road. I hate it. Oh, my God. See,
it's challenging.
Yeah, it is challenging. I'll admit. It is challenging. And I can't imagine how you're doing it at 200cc.
If I had to pick a favorite map, though, I'd probably say the airport.
Mm-hmm.
I consistently just have a blast on that one.
Sunshine Airport? Oh, yeah. Sunshine Airport's great.
It's just a good level. It's a lot of fun. A lot of cute detail.
Ryan, what's your favorite level?
I love all the ones that they don't have laps. It's just one straight go. I mean, technically, you do have laps. Like Mount Wario is great. I love Mount Wario. And I'm so happy that Big Blue is one straight go. And not only that, but the music to Big Blue. Have you just the saxophone playing the iconic Big Blue song? It's just so great. And it gets faster as fast as you go.
Yeah. I also love the fact that this is a racing game which has always emphasized the importance of drifting, but in Mario Kart 8, the process, I think, is a lot simpler to use. And not simpler in a bad way, just kind of like in a less frustrating way. So I really just like the way you could just press one button and adjust your angle.
Well, that was maybe the easiest discussion we've ever had. Everyone's just like, this game's great.
Yeah, it is an amazing game. I think I don't think they can do better. I think you guys are right. They need to make a game in which it's focused on a different character and or characters. Like instead of the face of the game being Mario, it could be I wouldn't say Link, you know, Captain Falcon and Star Fox and or someone.
I don't see them changing their face, so it's gonna.
I don't think they need to change it. Just keeping it fresh by introducing us to new characters. When Link showed up, it was awesome. Playing on Hyrule Circuit was so fun because it's the same exact thing as Big Blue. That music, you're like, oh, this is Zelda. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, the plants are Zelda enemies as opposed to Mario enemies. Yeah, it's just fun stuff like that that keeps it really fresh. New items, new characters. A little bit less of the cloning going on, and I think you will have good games in the future.
Yeah, I just don't see any more DLC coming out for this game. I could be wrong. I mean, I want to see more characters. Maybe more characters, but not more tracks.
Four total cups is really, really nice. Six new characters. It's been more than I expected, especially since some of them were outside of Mario. So that was a really cool treat that I didn't see coming.
Also,
I don't know if we'll see another set of DLC, but I love old maps and I love new maps, so keep them coming.
And what's awesome, it's been about a year, if not a year, since the game has been released, and they are still releasing new content. So I would be happy if they keep releasing DLC for the next year or so. The way I look at it is they should keep releasing DLC until they release a new Mario game, because they are making money off the DLC. I mean, it's not a big return. It's not like they're going to make as much money as releasing Mario Kart 9. Mm-hmm. But look, if you have, say, a million people downloading DLC, which is valued at, say, like $10, you've just made $10 million.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
long story short, if you own Mario Kart 8, you need to buy the DLC. It's totally worth it. I don't think one person here would disagree that Mario Kart 8 is one of the best games on the Wii U, one of the best Mario Kart games ever made. And this DLC was such a welcome treat and really keeps it fresh. And I've had a lot of fun with it. All right. So that'll about do it for Sound On Sights and Express today. Thanks so much for listening. If you haven't, seriously, go buy the Mario Kart DLC. You won't regret it. It's a ton of fun. Let's go through the gauntlet and list where we can find everybody. Aaron, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at TheCharmless6, and I also host APC Gaming Podcast. You could check it out on iTunes, FTW Gaming Podcast.
Ricky D, where can we find you?
On Twitter, Sound On Sight is the handle. I write for the website. I write reviews of video games, mostly Nintendo, independent horror films, and TV shows such as Game of Thrones, Walking Dead, etc., etc. Once again, www.soundonsite.org.
And our guest, Ryan, where can we find you?
You could find me on Twitter at Desert Ocelot. And I also write for Sound On Sight. I write video game reviews. I do monthly themes. I believe this monthly theme for the gaming is picking at previously perceived games that are quality and just like seeing how, you know, where their faults truly are. So you can look forward to that. And that's, of course, soundonsight.org.
And we should also just quickly mention that Ryan will be covering E3 for us. You will actually be present at the event. So we are going to cover the event, all of us, some of us from at home on our laptops watching the actual press conferences on YouTube, live streaming, but you're actually going to be there present. So we're going to have you back on the show sometime soon. And we're going to talk all about E3 once again. So I do expect you to be back on the show, and I'm really sorry about the audio quality at the start of the show.
Oh, no. Yeah, I'm excited for E3, and just happy you guys had me as a guest.
Yeah, no, thanks so much for coming on to NExpress. It's been a real fun discussion. I am Tim Mason. You can find me at The Free Mason on Twitter, M-A-I-S-O-N, or on Sound On Sight in the Games section. Thanks so much for listening once again, and we will talk to you next time. Bye.
Chance of handling your new 12-inch long playing records, and I would like to see you again in your office early next week.